I hope any others of you have taken time this week to spend more time in God's Word. Good. I am glad to see that, but let me challenge the rest of you. If you come and hear God's Word and don't do anything about it, and I'm going to sound blunt and crass when I say this, but if you take God's Word and you don't act on it when God says something to you, it actually becomes counterproductive in your life. It's not just neutral. It's counterproductive. It actually dulls your spiritual senses. So be very careful. If you're going to listen to God's Word, act on it. Determine in your heart, I will act on what God says to me before you ever hear it. Because if you don't act on it, it's really counterproductive and it dulls your spiritual senses. Today we're continuing on in what we looked at last week in terms of how God leads us through His Word and by His Spirit. And today we're going to look at the unfolding of the mystery of wisdom. Before we read these verses in 1 Corinthians 2, let's ask the Lord again for His direction. Father, we're mindful that, as the passage this morning that we will read says, that apart from the ministry of Your Spirit, we cannot even begin to understand Your truth. And so we pray, Lord, that even now as we open it, as we study it, as we listen, we pray, Spirit of God, that You would open our spiritual eyes to see, open our spiritual ears to hear, and quicken our heart and our will to obey and to follow through on that which You say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wisdom is not knowledge. They're different. A lot of people have lots of knowledge and very little wisdom. I know some people who have more brains in their little finger than I've got in my whole head, and yet their lives are falling apart at the seams. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge in such a way that it brings about fullness of life. And so it includes knowledge, but it is beyond knowledge. Now, wisdom, like mathematics or any other subject, has different levels to it. And I must admit to you that I feel so blessed to be set aside to be able to have time to study God's Word in depth, because I just learned so much stuff, and this was another one of those weeks where I'm going, whoa, I never understood that before. There are different levels of wisdom mentioned in the Scriptures, and we see them summarized in the passage that we have today. So we're going to read verses 1 to 7 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see if you can spot these different levels of wisdom. I'll give you a hint. There's four of them. Okay? Beginning at verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. Ding, 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 ding. There's the first, okay? As I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, ding, 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 got that? But on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age. Should I ring the bell again? Or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, Paul indicates in this passage there's at least four levels of wisdom. I don't think he set out to describe it that way, but it clearly shows up in this passage. There is standard wisdom, or wisdom that is sometimes called common sense, or the wisdom of this age. There is the wisdom of the rulers of this age, or spiritual wisdom. And then there is superior wisdom. And then there is secret wisdom that God has destined us for. So do you see how those all come out of here? Well, let's examine them briefly this morning and then illustrate how each of them work. First, standard wisdom, like I said, which has often been in modern lingo called common sense. Although, let's face it, nowadays, common sense is not so common. I am amazed at sometimes the imbecility, the stupidity, excuse my obvious choice of words, but I am amazed at how dumb some things are, or some, I hate to say some people are, but some of the things that people do, you go, duh, like where in the world did you get off? Basic human understanding, and people just miss it. Okay? But there's basic standard wisdom in this world that unfortunately is not so common. Now, how many here have ever made a really, really stupid mistake and are willing to admit it? Would you please put your hand up? Okay, now everybody else, look around, keep your hands up. Now look around at those people with their hands up, okay? They are the ones who the Bible calls wise people. That's right. You thought it was reversed. No. The Bible says the wise person is the one who understands that they don't know everything, who understands when they make a mistake, and who's willing to acknowledge it. Socrates says the wisest man is he who knows his own ignorance. William Wordsworth says wisdom is oftentimes nearer when we stoop than when we soar. An old Persian proverb goes like this. He who knows not, and you may get tricked up in the words here, so follow me closely. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him up. He who knows and knows that he knows is a wise person. Follow them. Christians, I must admit, are sometimes guilty of shunning standard human wisdom if it comes through a source that is not biblical or does not have Christian connections. I'm amazed at how many Christians do that. They think, no, only the Bible has wisdom. Only Christians have wisdom. Dear friends, hear me. There is much that we can learn from unbelievers. Even Jesus said, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of light are. Jesus said, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. We're not going to go into that one this morning. But Jesus made it very clear. There's lots of wisdom out there. Standard wisdom among the world and among cultures and among people, it's there. And I believe there's much out there to be gleaned, and wise people will glean it in every area and discipline of life. For example, let me give you a piece of financial advice, or business advice, or life advice. Some of you have heard the name Charles Schwab. He and his company are one of the largest investment firms in the world. Charles Schwab was a humanly wise and wealthy businessman. He was president of Bethlehem Steel. Well, he revealed his wisdom, his biblical wisdom, which says the wise man seeks counsel. By the way, if you're not seeking advice and counsel from other people, the Bible calls you a fool. Ouch. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. The wise person knows they don't know everything and seeks counsel. And so, even though this man was a very successful businessman, he sought wisdom or advice from another consultant, Ivy Lee. After Lee examined his business, he said, write down the most important tasks you have to do tomorrow, number them in order of importance, and when you arrive in the morning, begin at number one, and stay on task number one until it is completed. Then recheck your priorities, and then begin with number two, and so on, then number three, and so on. Make this simple habit part of your task every working day, and pass it on to all those under you. Try it as long as you like, and then send me a check for what you think it's worth. That's all. That one idea transformed Bethlehem Steel Corporation into the biggest independent steel producer in the world within 5 years. Schwab was so overcome with how it worked in his life. He could see it within months. So after 2 months of trying it, he sent a check to Ivy Lee for $25,000, admitting that, now this was years and years ago, so that was a lot of money, admitting that it was the most profitable lesson he had ever learned. Now that $25,000 lesson, which in today's dollars would probably be something like $100,000, I'm passing that on to you this morning free. We've already taken the offering. Okay? But this only hints at what is still to come in this message. So we'll take another offering later. I'm teasing. There's all kinds of human wisdom available, folks, whether in the financial realm or the administrative realm or other. There's lots out there. And the wise person, the Bible says, will earnestly seek it with great effort. If you are not reading, if you are not learning from other people, you're dead in the water. Learn, read, explore, examine. Go up to anybody in any realm of life and say, could you tell me the top two things you've learned in the last 5 years? Try it. Why walk around in ignorance when there's so much out there to learn? Learn from each other. Learn from people in fields where you have not studied. Glean the information. There's lots of standard wisdom out there. The Bible says, he who walks with the wise will be wise. So hang around people who know stuff that you don't and pick it up. And you will enjoy tangible growth in many sectors of your life. There's a second kind of wisdom that is openly sought nowadays around the world, and it's what we call spiritual wisdom, or it's what I would call spiritual wisdom. When I say spiritual, I'm not necessarily referring to God, because you see, the devil and his angels are also spiritual beings, and they love to influence humanity. You've probably noticed, as I have, that a lot of people nowadays will say, no, I'm not a Christian, no, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. You heard that? A lot of people love to say they're spiritual or spiritually inclined, but they don't like to identify with any particular religion, and especially not Christianity. Well, the world is full of other spiritual beings other than God. From the spirit world, the Bible says, the devil and his demonic angels, they can funnel a certain amount of wisdom to human beings. Perhaps you've already read about people getting direction from fortune tellers or channelers or mystics. More and more we read, at least in the West, we read about high-profile people consulting mediums. Even police departments in some cities are employing such people to locate criminals, to find victims, or to solve crimes. Now this is not just hocus-pocus angel dust kind of stuff, folks. Those with a Western rationalistic mindset often just blow this stuff off as paranormal weird stuff, even though it is just as real as the material universe. You just can't weigh it in a scale, you can't feel it with your fingers, and you can't measure it with a tape. Many people reject God's claim on their life, but because they are still hungry spiritually, they sell themselves or they yield themselves, knowingly or unknowingly, to the demonic spiritual world in exchange for temporal abilities or temporal insight or temporal riches or temporal wisdom. They're willing to do that. Satan can give those things because he is the god of this age. And some of the most insightful, powerful people on the planet are those with this spiritual kind of wisdom, with demonic-inspired insight, advice, or advanced knowledge. But please note here, there are limits to this kind of wisdom. It is temporal and it is short-lived. In verse 6 here, Paul reminds us that the rulers of this age, meaning the demonic spirits, this is a term that is often used in the Bible to refer to them, the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. In other words, they're going down. Their end is already sure. Their doom has been sealed by God. In verse 8 we read, none of the rulers of this age understood it. They didn't understand God's wisdom. He says, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now get this. If Satan and his angels would have understood the wisdom of God, they would not have put Jesus to death. They would not have orchestrated the crowds. They would not have whipped through the political hierarchy of the day and made sure that it happened. You see, demonic spirits are wise. But they're not all wise. Satan thought that if he could just kill Jesus, he would stop God's plan of rescuing humans from his grip. Little did he realize that by orchestrating Jesus' death, he was playing right into God's hand. He was playing right into the overarching wisdom of God, and he was being swallowed by a wisdom that was far greater than his. Have you ever wondered why is it that to this very day Satan fights so hard against the historical reality of Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection? Look at the arguments that are set up philosophically, religiously, in every other realm trying to disprove the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Satan does not want people to know that it happened. Why? Because that's where his doom was sealed. And that's where what he thought was going to be his ultimate victory turned into his ultimate defeat. Praise God. But he didn't know it. He played right into God's hand. By Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have an eternal payment for our sin. We have a way out of our brokenness, and we have absolute assurance of eternal life. We've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness under his control and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son whom God loves. Praise God. He was defeated there. So spiritual wisdom is there, and many people seek it, but it is definitely outside the boundaries of what God has ordained. Throughout the Old Testament, anybody who even sought a medium, anybody who even talked to a channeler, they didn't use those words in those days, but it's the same thing. They were to be put to death. They were like a cancer cell being introduced into the body of believers. That's how important it is. Witchcraft, seances, all this spiritual stuff, dear friends, is deadly. What it is it's a human desire trying to find wisdom beyond our own, but we turn to Satan and the demonic realm for it. And God says that is outside the boundaries, because it moves your heart toward a God that is not the real God. But it is a source of wisdom. Thirdly, in verse 1, Paul refers to superior wisdom. Solomon displayed this in the Old Testament as the wisest man who ever lived. Do you remember the time that those two women came to him, both claiming the same child? One mother's baby died during the night, and so she went and took the other mother's young baby and said, "This is mine." The dispute arose. They went, made it all the way up to Solomon. Remember his decision? Talk about wisdom. He said, okay, bring me a sword, and we'll just cut the baby in half and give half to each mother. And one mother, the mother who lost her baby, said, "Yeah, that sounds fine to me." She'd lost hers. The other mother might as well lose hers too. "Yeah, that's fine to me." The real mother said, no, give the baby to her. She'd rather have the baby live under someone else's care. And Solomon instantly said, "I know who the real mother is. Give the child to that one." Wisdom. Superior wisdom. Wisdom beyond just studying the right subject or just learning from some cultural proverb. This is wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom that is able to make the right decision even without the right information. That kind of wisdom is superior. It's powerful. Those who, you know, you look at this kind of wisdom. Proverbs says that this kind of wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. It's a proper recognition of who God really is, and then it grows out of a growing recognition of who God is and His truth. So if you want standard wisdom, you can get lots of it from the world. If you want superior wisdom, you have to begin with the fear of the Lord. You have to begin by seeking Him and finding Him out and letting the Lord begin to funnel that through you. Godly superior wisdom is rare in this world, and it's rare because it is so otherworldly. Do Jesus' words make sense to the human mind? He told us that the way up is down. That the way to receive is to... Do you believe that? How many of you believe that what Jesus said, that the way to receive is to give? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? What did you do with the offering this morning? I'll let that sit. Do we really believe what Jesus said? Jesus says, if you want to be great, serve. The way to discover life is to willingly die. You see, all those who discover this wisdom may not look like much to the world, just like Jesus didn't when he was here. But those who do discover a superior wisdom that nothing in this world can compare with. In the New Testament, we are told there is a special gift, a spiritual enabling of wisdom given to some people by the Holy Spirit. And much as with happened with Solomon when he was alive, this gift is, when it's properly used, can literally transform confusing situations with crystal clear clarity. We had a guy on our elders board back in Canada where I was pastoring with this gift. And I marveled every time it functioned. We could be in the most thorny issue, dealing with an issue on the board level, and he would just kind of sit back and you could just see him not saying anything. Everybody else was just going at it and tearing it apart and trying to come at it and bring all the best that we had of human wisdom. And this guy would just sit back, and sometimes he would say something and something, and often I would just turn to him and I would say, "What do you think?" And he spoke softly and slowly, but his words were like a shaft of light that came into the darkness and just whoosh, and it was so crystal clear. So crystal clear. And I would often just go home saying, oh God, give me that gift. Give me that gift. Oh, that more of God's people would say, Lord, I want all the standard wisdom I can get, but I want more of it. I want more than that. I want superior wisdom. I want wisdom that comes from God Himself. I want wisdom that elevates my understanding and enables me to cut through the thick of darkness in my business, in my family, in my circumstances. Oh, if only political leaders of our day had some more superior wisdom. Amen? Amen. But this only comes, it begins with the fear of the Lord and a pursuit after Him. What is amazing about this passage, though, this morning, is that Paul said, you know what? I'm not talking about standard wisdom. And I'm not talking about spiritual wisdom. And I'm not even talking about superior wisdom. I am here, Paul said, to proclaim a secret wisdom that far supersedes them all. It goes beyond all of this. And the good news is it is available for you. As a matter of fact, according to verse 7, God destined this wisdom, God's secret, mysterious, hidden wisdom, for our glory before time began. Do I have your interest? Good morning. Anybody with me? Does this entice you? Does this interest you at all? God says, not just standard, not just superior, I got something better than that, and I've actually destined it for you before time ever began. Those with standard wisdom get tangible growth, there's no doubt. Those with spiritual wisdom get temporal gain with a deadly kick. Those with superior wisdom have a transforming gift. But those with secret wisdom have tremendous glory, for they get all of the other stuff and more. So let's look at it. Take a look at verse 9. Having clearly stated that the kinds of wisdom that Paul is not referring to, he then continues in verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. What God has in store is not just a mystery, it is beyond human comprehension. You can put your finest thinking cap on, you can go to the best seminars the world has to offer, and you can't even hint, you can't even begin to hint at what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, does that blow your categories or what? That's what Paul is introducing here. It is dynamic life in all its possible fullness. Think of the biggest adventure you can possibly think of, and this is bigger still. Think of the most incredible challenge, and it only hints at what is in store for God's people. Try to comprehend beauty that will knock you backwards, and pleasure that will burst all your categories, and try to grasp wisdom, understanding, and insight that is humanly unattainable. And although all of this is absolutely impossible for us to even begin to grasp with any or all of human ability, look at verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. I love this! We began this series, if you weren't here, earlier this fall, the first message was God is the, remember the title? He's the revealer of mysteries. God loves to reveal. He purposely hides stuff. He doesn't give it to anybody. He hides it so that you and I will seek Him with all of our hearts. But when we seek Him earnestly, God is eager to open up the secret stores and reveal His heart, reveal His secrets. And here we see it again. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. He continues, the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we may understand what God has freely given to us. Somebody once said the greatest tragedy among Christians all over the world today is that we don't understand what is ours in Christ. It's ours, but we just don't know it. It's ours for the taking, but we never take it. It's our bank account to draw on, and we never draw on it. We just go through our merry life saying, I'm going to heaven someday when I die, thank God. And then we live the rest of our lives as if nothing has changed. Tragedy! Tragedy! We don't know what we have because we don't know who we are. He continues here, my children, do you realize what you have in Christ? That we may understand what God has freely given us. I kind of think this is like a positive and totally legal, I might say, totally legal example of insider trading. You know what insider trading is, don't you? I mean, a lot of these high executives in America right now are getting canned legally, and some of them are going to prison because they were involved in business scams where they knew what was going on and they were able to inflate the market and then sell their shares before the things went down and make lots of money. When you know inside information in a company that is to your financial advantage, it's illegal. Okay? Well, this is a perfectly legal example of good insider trading in the sense of the Bible says that the Spirit of God knows the mind of God and He's willing to make it known to us. It's like if I really, really wanted to get to know you, not just what you looked like or what you ate for breakfast, but if I wanted to know how you thought, if I wanted to know what made you tick, if I wanted to know the very essence of your being, who should I ask? Your neighbor, your spouse, your children, your parents? No, they could give me lots of goods, lots of information on you. I could really get information. But you know what? If I really wanted to know you, who should I ask? You! You're the one who knows you, right? So if I could somehow get to know you, the essence of you, I'd find out lots about you if you're willing to reveal it. Well, that's what God is saying. Who knows God better than the Spirit of God? He knows Him. He is Him. And this Spirit of the Almighty, living, all-knowing, eternal God is willing, indeed, eager. Indeed, He is destined before time began to reveal to us the very heart and mind of God. He's wanting to do it. By wisdom, God fashioned the entire universe. By wisdom, He decreed the dynamics of the atom and the far-flung galaxies. By His Spirit of wisdom, He determined the secrets of success for everything from relationships to real estate, from sex to selling techniques, from paranormal phenomena to physical health. He knows and understands everything about everything about everything. Now imagine if you had access to that data bank. Imagine it. Well, here's the amazing news. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have yielded your life to Him as the Lord of your life, then you have the Spirit of the living God abiding in you. If you have God's Spirit abiding in you, if you are yielding your life to His control, then get ready for this. Then you have instant access to the very mind of Christ. Do you hear that? That's your inheritance in Christ. Verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have, what does your Bible say? We have the mind of Christ. Oh, does that excite you or what? It's ours. We have the mind of Christ. Let me give you a personal example of this. As most of you know, shortly after I got back from my summer vacation, in late August, I had most of the symptoms of a heart attack and continuing heart pain and angina after that. But all the medical tests here and subsequent tests in London indicated that my heart was great. It was an unexplainable mystery. For 2 weeks while I was in the U.S. a little while ago getting my neck vertebrae surgery, I never had one single chest pain. When I got back to Egypt 11 days ago, on the way home from the airport in the car, I had another chest pain. And I had more chest pains in the days following that. Last Thursday morning, I was in my office preparing my message when all of a sudden I had all those same symptoms come over me that came over me the night back in August, just before the big bang in my chest. I felt nauseous. I felt weak. My body went limp. My pain began to pound in my head. I thought, oh, no, not again. I got up and I walked around the office for a bit, and then I could hardly walk, and so I sat down in my easy chair in the office, and I just kind of sinking down into the chair. And my secretary came in, and she noticed, and she ran and got me a glass of water, and I said, I need some time. So she left, and I'm sitting there just thinking, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? And all of a sudden, it just click, 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 and this information that I always had all of a sudden started to come clear. But it was happening all fall. I was in the States, nothing. I get back here the very moment, within hours, I step back into Egypt. Boom, it starts again. I'm going, what is going on? And it was like the Holy Spirit whispered into my ear, this is not physical. This is obviously spiritual. And you know what? Interestingly, other believers during the fall had said that to me. And I tucked it away in my information bank, and some people even prayed for me about that. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit Himself spoke to my spirit and said, Dave, this is of the enemy. I stood up in my chair and I said, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You will not have authority over my body. You have no control over me. I am a blood-bought child of Jesus Christ. This is His temple. This is the temple He lives in. This is the temple He controls. In Jesus' name, take your garbage and get out of here. Instantly, all the symptoms lifted. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. You see, medical doctors told me everything that was not causing my pain, but they couldn't tell me what it was. Some believers had told me what they thought it might be, but that didn't help completely either. As I said, it was not until the Holy Spirit whispered to my spirit that I understood and was able to take action. But when He did, the deal was done. The victory was won. I had obtained wisdom for my body and for my life that cannot be found in any textbook anywhere in this world. See, because let me hasten to say, not all physical problems are demonic inspired. Every time something physical happens to you, it may not be what it was for me. That's why you and I need to, every day, every experience, every situation, need to have our ears tuned to the Spirit of God. Because He may say something totally different to you than He says to me. Why God didn't say that to me earlier? I don't know. Maybe it's because I needed this illustration this morning. But we need to constantly have our ears tuned to the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible over and over again says, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Jesus said in John 15, "As if you abide in me and my words and I abide in you, not just visit occasionally, but abide in you, then ask whatever you want and it will be given unto you." Do you see that? It's the abiding, letting the Spirit of God daily, momentarily, every hour, every minute, fill us with Himself and whisper to our spirit what He wants for our lives. I need the Holy Spirit's wisdom, not just for my physical health. I need it for my family, for my children, for my finances, for my direction in life, for my ministry here, for the growing
responsibility. I need God's guidance in every area of my life. I want standard wisdom, but I need more than that. I want superior wisdom, but I want more than that. I want the secrets of God's heart. And I don't want to be satisfied until I have Him whispering those things to my life all the time. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You think, this guy's gone off his rocker. This is weird stuff. There's no way it can work like that. Well, look at verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. A certain teacher was ridiculing the Bible in class one day. This was a secular school, university. And a courageous young Christian teenager challenged him, saying that she did believe and trust the Bible. Well, he said, "Stand up, young lady," and he began to publicly mock her in the classroom. And said, "The Bible is a bunch of gobbledygook and nobody can understand it. It's stupidity, it's foolishness." And bless her heart, that young teenager knew the Lord and she knew the Scriptures. And she stood up and she said, "Excuse me, sir, with all due respect, the Bible is God's love letter to His children. The reason you can't understand it is because you've been reading somebody else's mail." The Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of God. Well, you can understand basic, words on a page. But the stuff we're talking about this morning, the deep things of God, the wisdom that is hidden, you can't begin to touch it without the Spirit of the living God. There's no access. It's closed. It's a vault. It's a lock. But the one with the Spirit of God has instant access, because we have the mind of Christ. Only those who have God's Spirit within them have access to the secret wisdom that is part of God's person. To the rest, it will look like foolishness. But for those of us who have the Holy Spirit of Christ in us, we're instantly connected to the vast reservoir of God's awesome wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. But you may say this morning, "Well, I'm a believer in Jesus, and I don't experience that kind of assistance from God. I'd love to get that kind of help. I'd love to get that kind of insight. I'd love to get that kind of wisdom. I'd love to have the Lord fill me with new thoughts and new insights and give me what He's got. I'd love that. Would you? Would you? Would you really? Don't you say, yeah, would you really, really want that?" The primary reason why the early church walked in such dynamic power, significantly penetrating their dark world with the good news of Jesus Christ, was because they had a deep longing for secret wisdom. They knew and practiced this mystery. They knew that Christ, the living Christ by His Holy Spirit, was living in them. They knew and trusted the Holy Spirit to be renewing their minds with God's truth that they had been storing up in their head. They knew and practiced that Jesus was reminding them of everything that Jesus had said to them. They were constantly asking for and receiving supernatural enabling. And then they were following the wisdom that God was giving them. And they obeyed whatever God was saying to them. You can't read through the book of the New Testament, or the New Testament books, the book of Acts and following, without realizing that dynamic. These people were connected. They followed what the Spirit of God was saying to them. I declare to you this morning, the mystery of wisdom has been revealed. It has been revealed. The reason it's still a mystery to you and to me in part is because we haven't claimed what is ours in Jesus Christ. It is still hidden for the unbeliever. But if you are God's child, dear friend, through faith in Jesus Christ, this has been destined by God for your glory. It's for your glory. It's for your victory. It's for your wholeness. It's for your fruitfulness. You can leave it buried and stored away if you want. But surely today, God is stirring in your heart to desire more of what He has in store for you. If you want to live at the level of Christianity 101, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I trust Him, I'm going to heaven when I die, praise the Lord. If you want to live there, okay, you may make it to heaven someday, but you are missing out the greatest treasure of your life. The Apostle James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without fault, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But here's the caution. When he asks, he must not believe, or he must believe rather, and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Are you double-minded here this morning? As part of you say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I really don't want him involved in these other sections of my life. Yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I'll look after my business myself. Yes, I'll follow Jesus, but don't you dare touch my finances. Yes, I'll follow Jesus, but stay out of my marriage problems right now. I'll handle these on my own. Yes, I'll follow Jesus, but don't you dare start getting involved with me and my kids. Or yes, I'll follow Jesus, but don't you mess with this, or don't you touch that, or don't dig up that, or you're double-minded. If you've got this diversion, I mean, anybody, even secular councils will know. They call that schizophrenic. There's a lot of schizophrenic Christians walking around. We want to follow Jesus. Want one camp in Jesus and one camp in the world. One foot here, one foot there. Dear friends, you can't walk that far before you split right apart. A double-minded person is unstable, not just in some. It says they're unstable in all their ways. Do you want the wisdom of God? I ask you again, do you want it this morning? It's yours for the taking, but do you want it? Do you want it more than anything? Do you want it enough to pull that leg out of the world, out of yourself, out of all the other things that are demanding your attention? Are you willing to pull that leg out of there and put both legs into Jesus? Both legs into Christ? Both legs into God's claim upon your life? If you're willing to, dear friends, I declare to you, get ready. Get ready for the ride of your life. You may say, oh, you're just trying to excite us this morning. I'm just telling you what's already in here. And I'm only experiencing it in part, but I am experiencing it, thank God. And what it does for me, it just makes me want more and more and more and more. God's wisdom, I must admit, is addictive. The more you get of it, the more you want. I invite you today to come and receive what God has destined for you before time began. He wants to reveal to you progressively the mind of Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord, you know each heart here this morning. You know how easily we get distracted. You know how easily we get enticed with the knowledge and the wisdom of this world. And with the knowledge and the wisdom of false gods and false truths and things that would pull us away from you and demand our attention. Oh God, I pray this morning, if you're stirring in people's hearts, that you will move us beyond just a tickle in our spirit this morning that says, yeah, I kind of like some of that. Lord, get us to the place where we are so hungry for you that nothing else in life will matter in comparison. And then, Lord, we pray that you would move us to take whatever steps are necessary to act on this and to seek you with all our heart. For you said, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Make this real in each and every heart this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.